And away we show.
I've been working here. Monday it'll be a year. And I can't recall a day when I didn't want to disappear. But I keep on showing up. Helping on growing up. If it takes a lifetime. I'm learning how to be alone. I fall asleep with the TV on. And I fight the urge to live inside my telephone. I keep my spirits high, find happiness by and by, if it takes a lifetime. I got too far from my race and I forgot where I come from.
Hey everybody, well, we got another show today. We're going to do an advice show when we get around to that. Got some good advice to give today. Some good questions. Went to the Demolition Derby last weekend. If you don't know what that is, you're an idiot. And it's a thing where cars smash into each other and destroy each other. And, pretty hillbilly event. I will say this. Probably the best part came early on. Well, the best part was the end where they had recreational vehicles smashing into each other. And toilets and all. Toilets littering the infield. But probably the best part of the Demolition Derby was towards the beginning. They had the RVs come out and they were kind of sitting in a circle. And they were just kind of hanging out as a preview of like, here's what's coming. Now I thought they were going to do it first. And I was like, all right, these RVs are going to go. We can just go eat some food. What am I going to watch after an RV? You know what I mean? A car? Please. But what happened was one of the RV drivers, you know, they're like, one of the RV drivers has an announcement to make. And he comes out and you start thinking like, oh boy, is this going to be what I think it is? Why is it whenever I feel like everyone in the world has an uncanny sixth sense for like, is that there about to be a marriage proposal here? Somehow you just know, right? So he comes out and he's like, if my girlfriend so-and-so, if she'd come down to the middle. And the announcer is kind of hanging out and he's like, so you've got something to say today or whatever? And the guy's like, yeah, if she would hurry up and get down here. And it just kind of kept going like that. Like, maybe if she would hurry the fuck up and get here, I could, if this stupid whore would get down here with her dumb whore face, I could ask her to be my wife. Which he did, and she was seemed very thrilled. He did not win the derby, I don't think, but what the hell? You know, you can't have it all. But being in a demolition derby and then getting married, you know, I wouldn't have put my money on the guy, because I'd be like, well, now he's got something to live for. His derby days are over, right? I want the derby guy who mostly likes it because he's like, this is as fast as I get to drive a car while I'm drunk and no one yells at me. Because what's going to happen? I'll crash into someone? That's kind of the point. So, so that happened. So I guess they're married. I don't know. Also, I watched a movie. I'm writing a column about it, but they made a Fantastic Four movie in the year of 1994, and it was super unremarkable. However, there was one part I really enjoyed. Very end of the movie, they fight Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom falls off the side of his castle, evil lair wall thing, and he's hanging down below. Now, Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, catches him because, you know, he can stretch his body really long. So his arms are like way stretched out trying to pull up Dr. Doom. And Dr. Doom is like dangling there. And below him is, you know, 1,000 feet. Everything that people fall off of in a movie, it's like 1,000,000 feet into abyss. Like, you know, you watch The Good Son. That kid fell 8,000 times as far as he needed to just to die. He fell so fucking far that you just had to know. Like, you're like, all right, he's not going to... Like, I guess most people don't really know from looking, would this kill me for sure or not? I mean, I don't really know. I feel like I would die from jumping off a roof. But then on the other hand, who knows? I don't know. I feel like my perception of it is all skewed too, because I'm like, well, if there's grass, I could probably go three floors easy. And that's got to be totally wrong. I can't imagine grass is a lot better than concrete when you fall three stories, right? So Reed Richards is holding him. He's dangled below a cliff or above a cliff, whatever. And he's dangling there. And the whole time Reed Richards is like struggling to pull him up, Dr. Doom is like taunting him and just being like, you don't have the guts to drop me, you pansy. And saying like, as soon as I get up there, I'm going to fucking torture you forever. This is going to be the worst thing. Just hurry up and get me up there so I can start being a bastard again. And he just goes on and on. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. How long is he? How much can he do before the guy's like, all right, this is dumb. In these movies, these superheroes always save people and don't kill people. And I get it, they're superheroes, but sometimes you just want them to. Sometimes you want to be like, hey, look, this guy's really asking for it. And he's pretty evil for no real reason. Also in this movie, so the origin of the Fantastic Four from the comics is these people go into space, they're bathed in cosmic radiation, and they get powers. This movie is pretty similar, except the reason they get the radiation isn't just because it's by chance. It's because they had this super special spaceship, and part of the spaceship's design was a crucial giant diamond that, you know, dissipated heat or some bullshit. You know, some made-up reason they needed a huge giant diamond. And a mole man comes and steals their giant diamond and replaces it with a fake giant diamond, which is why the giant diamond doesn't end up reflecting the heat or whatever. And the mole man uses the giant diamond to propose as a wedding gift to a woman he's kidnapped who's blind and he's never met before. So that's the kind of quality of movie. I thought it was funny that this movie used a premise that I thought was dumb like years later in Batman and Robin, which is like, why would you have a giant... You know, later, Dr. Doom uses the diamond to power a laser to destroy New York. And in Batman and Robin, Mr. Freeze uses a giant diamond to power Freeze Ray to destroy Gotham. And it's like, a diamond-powered laser seems like the most... That seems like a bad use of a... And am I to believe this laser is somehow consuming the diamonds? At one point, Mr. Freeze, his suit is apparently also diamond-powered. And he just dumps a bunch of diamonds in this little portal, and then it's like, and he's powered up again. So I guess he's got a diamond-powered suit. This is probably the worst sort, you know. Oh, how does, I actually have converted my car to use an alternative fuel, $20 bills. You know, it's got a bill slot, I feed them in, it burns the bills. And if I burn about $800,000, I can get one way to work. So alternative fuel, it's pretty awesome. Even if that car was super powerful, I don't think that would end up being worth it, would it? Why am I even asking? $800,000 to get to work? Hell no. Hellmouth. So that was a terrible movie I watched. And a great Demolition Derby I saw. I ate some food. Ate ribbon fries, you know, those fries where they take a potato and shave it down with a drill. Good, but a little soggy. They needed to be a little crisped up. I gotta tell you that. Also, we wore our sleeveless eagle shirts from rafting past. I have this shirt. It's got an eagle riding a motorcycle on it with an American flag. Riding it like, I don't know, the eagle is like a guy with an eagle head, almost. Eagle head on a badass biker's body in front of an American flag. And we were not out of place. I don't think anyone thought we were doing that to be funny. A woman next to us, mother of two, was wearing a shirt that was ripped and not strategically ripped because, you know, one rip was kind of like above the boob or like on the stomach and you're like, maybe. But then both armpits were ripped out, and I was like, yeah, and I don't think so. I don't think they strategically rip out for design the armpits where it looks like you blew the armpits out of your shirt. This lady's daughter spilled, well, dropped, not dropped, poured an entire root beer on this metal bench. You know, all the seatings, these metal benches like bleachers. Poured it out on the bench and then just started putting her fingers in it and putting her fingers in her mouth. That was the most efficient way for her to drink the root beer. And in the course of this woman eventually trying to stop her child from dying by jumping over a railing, I saw this lady had what appeared to be a dragonfly tattoo that was firmly in her butt crack. Not just like partway, but seemed to be all the way in the butt crack. There you go. So we're going to go on to the Reddit, the advice subreddit. Jesus, Reddit. I like Reddit, but I have a problem with Reddit. Yesterday, I was sitting in a coffee shop working, and I am not kidding. I worked for probably 4 hours, and the whole time I was there, this guy was trying to convince a woman to vote for Bernie Sanders. I didn't have a problem with Bernie Sanders before, but now I do, because it was really annoying. This guy was probably 25, and this lady was probably 60. And he talked to her 4 hours about how great Bernie Sanders is, how viral the marketing is, how many people came out to his events, and then was explaining to her what Reddit is and why Reddit is amazing and better than news sources. And hearing someone explain Reddit to somebody is what made me sick. I don't know why it is. It's just, that's like the old man in me, is hearing a whippersnapper explain to this adult woman, oh, here's what Reddit is and why it's great. I just wanted to argue with him, even though, you know, it is kind of great. But hearing it explained that way and like, oh, it's working so awesome for this political thing. Anyway, so we're on the advice subreddit, and I thought, why not give some advice? Why not dole out some of my sage-like advice? So I can see the questions, and then we'll see what we get here. Let's see. Hey, everyone. Would you mind taking a look at my best man speech for Saturday and giving me some constructive pointers? By Nikod27. I would love to. Let's see. I have a wedding this Saturday, and this is the speech I plan to give. I want it to be funny, sincere, and not too long. That being said, I'm a bit nervous. Any advice on what to add, take out, or reword would very much be appreciated. I changed their names on here to just say groom and bride. Thank you. Yeah, because I would know. I'd be like, oh my God, Steve and Janet. Well, now I know who you are, and I'll know you got advice from Reddit. Okay. Here we go. Let's just pretend their names are groom and bride. And let's assume bride is a dude's name and groom is a woman's name. That just makes it more fun. Thank you. Thank you to Groom and Bride for inviting us all here to spend this special and exciting day with them. I am so happy to be a part of it. That's a comma. That should just be a period. Let me first start by saying a few things about Groom. Bride, you are so lucky to have a man like Groom. He is caring, so incredibly handsome, charming. He is... Groom, I can't read your handwriting here. What does this word say? Pause for hopeful laughter, it says. Okay. So, let's just keep going. Let's go a little further. In all seriousness, though, we are here today to celebrate the marriage of two great people who truly deserve the happiness they will have together. Groom has been my best friend for many years, and when I think of the history of our friendship, there is one moment that stands out the most. This moment would be during the chemistry our junior year of high school. Those of you who went to town will know how hot it was in June, sitting in the old non-air-conditioned gymnasium and trying to focus on taking these ridiculous tests. I was terrible at chemistry, and conversely, Groom was very good at it. Because our last names are fairly close in the alphabet, Jesus Christ, this is a little too much detail, sir. We sat relatively close during the test session. I was stuck on a particularly hard question, and I somehow managed to get Groom's attention and whisper, "Groom, what's number 16? He looked down at his paper, then back at me and whispered, "Blue." I looked at him confused and with a slightly panicked expression, and I said, "But I think they are asking for a number, aren't they?" He simply looked back at me, smiled and winked and said, "Trust me." And so I did. It was a 2-point question, and I passed that test by 2 points. And to this day, I'd like to think that the two-point question I got right was the one Groom helped me with. And as funny as this story is, it speaks to the type of person Groom is. He's the type of guy who will always have your back, who will always support you, and when you are nervous or worried about something, he will always be there to confidently lighten the mood while helping you get through whatever it is you're going through. And I couldn't think of a better person for Groom to be with than Bride, who is someone who is equally as loyal, supportive, kind, and caring. As you start your journey together, I wish you to a lifetime of excitement, happiness, and love. So let us raise our glasses, whatever we have in front of us, and have a toast to Groom and Bride, and to a wonderful and happy life and marriage. Okay, well, that's awful. That's like a... Okay, I'm going to tell you the things I don't like about best man speeches. Number one, if you want to give this speech, if you want to tell this little anecdote, I would start with... So we're taking a chemistry test together, me and this guy, sitting next to each other, and I was stuck on a question, and I wasn't supposed to, you know, because it's a test, and I said, hey, buddy, what's the answer to 16? Now, you should tell us that you had some numbers down. You know, I guessed 55, I guessed 45. Then I said, hey, dude, what's the number to 16? And he said, blue. That makes the joke much better. Because if you're saying, I think it's 16, maybe it's 25, and then he says blue, then I'm thinking, what the fuck? Is he fucking with you? Or are you that dumb? It's got to be one or the other. And feel free to let us know you're that dumb. Things I don't really need to know are that this was in high school, that it was hot, that it was June. I don't know why you're taking a test in June. I don't really need to know the town where you're at. I don't need to know any of that. And so here's what I think a lot of these sort of toasts try to do, is they try and tell a story that's like a funny little story and then torture it into a metaphor for like what the person's like. Oh yeah, one time my friend gave me a ride home. And, you know, the way he gave me a ride home is a lot like how he'll carry you through this marriage, especially because he sort of coerced me into giving him a blowjay, which is probably what he'll do to you a lot. So, happy wedding. You don't need to go that far. You don't need to be like, as funny as this story is, it's also very serious. He'll support you when you're nervous or worried, and he'll confidently lighten the mood. How is that lightening the mood and supporting you? He helped you cheat on a fucking test. You know, I feel like the lesson of that story is, hey, whatever you suck at, just make sure he's good at it. This would be a great way you could twist this. You could be like, Bride, I know there's some things that you suck at. Okay, you suck at not shoe shopping because you're a lady. I don't know, whatever. And Groom is good at not shoe shopping. So sometimes, if you suck at something, just ask him and he'll probably tell you blue. Or, you know, say, so here's what I've learned from this. If Groom doesn't know the answer, he's probably just going to tell you blue to get you off his back. So if he's ever telling you blue, don't believe him. When he's saying, you know, oh, what color should we paint the house? And he says, I don't know, blue. Oh, which toenail color do you prefer? I don't know, blue. What color is the pill you want to take, the boner pill? I don't know, blue. That one, he happens to be right. Sometimes he'll be right. Sometimes it'll just happen. But for the most part, blue is his, like, go-to answer. Also, feel free to say, raise your glasses and let's toast. But you don't have to go, you don't have to say this. So let us raise our glasses, whatever we have in front of us, and toast to Groom and Bride and to a wonderful and happy life and marriage. Just say, so toast, Groom and Bride. You don't have to say, like, whatever we have in front. You don't have to clarify, like, oh, well, I guess if you're one of these pussies who's not drinking booze at a wedding, you know, you're the fucking grandma, and you're not drinking booze, even though someone's going to drive you home, because a grandma at a wedding is goddamn royalty. Okay. I shorten it up, tighten it up, make it funny by telling us first that your answer is a number and then go to blue. And, you know, mention blowjobs. Mention blowjobs. Okay. How can I convince my friends that their views on the LGBTQIA+ community are wrong and antiquated? Damn it. Okay, LGBTQ, I think I've got, because I think we've got lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, which, by the way, I still don't really understand. It's transgender. If you're transgender, you're still lesbian, gay, bisexual, or straight, but whatever. Q is questioning, so I guess you just don't really know. You haven't decided, which is fine, but that's also like none. I don't know what IA or plus is. Asexual, is that A? I, ignorant, I. Okay. I think the IA plus stands for into A, and then the plus means a butthole. Into a butthole. So you're like into buttholes. That's all I got. So today was a very, very rough day. Among a pile of things that have contributed to making this day royally suck, I was cornered by two of my friends and one of their girlfriends at lunch because I openly support marriage equality. They feel that they need to point out how wrong and sick they think it is. They talk about torturing homosexuals and killing them in horrendous ways and disowning their kids should they ever come out and other shit. I know they would never do half of this stuff, but the sentiment is there. They berated me and have been giving me serious shit about my views since then. More than once I've heard the term faggot lover dropped on me when we got back to work and his girlfriend threatened to punch me. This is a day labor job for some families, so no hope there, not to mention the boss is staunchly conservative as well. Now, the problem is that the area we're in is very backwater and at least a solid 20 years behind the times. The people here are very hypocritical and hate anything about the current Supreme Court ruling. This wouldn't be as bad if I wasn't in the closet myself as bi. It gets worse. I need to live with one of them in the coming months. I've been through a very rough life due to the culture in this place, and just as I thought I was getting away from the hell here, I get the rug pulled out from under me with the knowledge that I'll be hearing such colorful phrases as stupid faggot and cocksuckers at 120 decibels while he's on Xbox Live. I wouldn't need to live with him if my parents weren't narcissistic assholes who are just as bad and worse in other regards. I cannot go into details, but simply put, I need to move for my own safety and sanity. If they ever find out I'm bi, I would be homeless. In fact, if anyone but the very select few I've told find out, I'll be homeless. I just want to know that I'll find a way out of this hell, and what can I do to make this work? Well, okay. Well, here's the situation. I have two pieces of advice for you. One that I would advise to anyone anyway, and the other one that's a little more specific and hypocritical. Let's start with the first one. Don't live with your parents. Okay? I lived at home until I was 20-ish. And it was a little long, but that was as early as but here's the thing. I lived at home until I was 20. It was still a little long. And honestly, it was easy. I lived just with my mom, me and my mom at home. And, we barely saw each other. She left for work before I went to school. I'd go to college, go to work, come home. By the time I was home, she was in bed. Never saw her. Never any rules. Never any don't do this, don't do that. And even then, at 20, could have moved out a little earlier. It's just a good thing to do. Now, if you have parents who are against your lifestyle or giving you shit, get the fuck out. Just make that your only goal in life. It sounds like you're working a job. Just move out. Move out with total strangers, whatever. Now, here's the other part I'm going to tell you. The country is changing. Things are better. I still can't really imagine that it would be very fun to be a gay person in small town Arkansas. From what you're saying, I'm assuming you live somewhere pretty small and pretty conservative, and I think you'd have a much better time living in a city. I think you'd have so here would be what I would tell you. It's good to have a good life goal. My life goal, if I were you, would be to move to somewhere that I did not have to fight these fights, because it doesn't sound like anything's going great there anyway. You're talking about moving out of your parents' house with a friend who basically you think is going to beat you up because you don't hate gay people and you yourself are bi. This is not a good situation. Get the fuck out. Move to a city. Do it. Just do it. There's nothing for you there. That's what I want to do, and I'm not even in your situation. Okay? Oh, let's see. My grandmother's slowly passing away in her bed. Well, I don't really know what advice you need for that. You know, agitate, scare her badly. Ty, I think what you're supposed to do if your grandma's passing away in her bed is, I heard this remedy, you tie one of her teeth around a string and tie it to a door handle and shut the door really fast. Something like that. Let's see, looking for some breakup advice. Would you or would you not agree that my dad is being kind of a douchebag? Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Let's see what we've got. Douchebag dad. Really hope this isn't removed because it's already been removed twice from others. Okay, I don't care about that. 2 years ago, my dad called saying he was buying a car that would be mine once I got my license. I got it last summer, and by then he only let me use the car when I asked. He wouldn't let me take it to college, so I had to take hour-plus long bus rides or expensive taxis if I wanted to get downtown. Less so for other places, but I must have spent $300 total at least getting taxis for places I needed to go. He told me then that I would have the car next year in college. 2 months away from next year, whenever I bring it up, he either denies ever telling me the car would be mine, says he likes it and wants to keep it, or states that he doesn't owe me a car and most people get their own. The majority of my friends have gotten their cars from parents or relatives. I should also mention that he already has his own truck and I would only be using the car for 8 months, then probably never need my own car again because this is the last year I'm going to this college. So I'm not even asking for the car, just use it in college for less than a year while he could use his truck. Plus, I'm a pretty good driver, never any tickets or anything, but no, I'm not in college to be driving around, I'm there to get an education. Well, okay. Dick thing for parents to tell you, like, oh, I'll do this, right? Here's the situation. We could look at this from, I have a dad who told me he would do some stuff. Basically, he said, I won't ever buy you a car, but I'll pay for your entire college, which, you know, would have been annoying when I was like 16, because I'd be like, can you buy me a car? Like, you have money. But then when I was in college, I would have been like, well, this is pretty sweet to not have debt. And now I sit $20,000 in debt because instead of paying for my college, my dad decided it would be fun to go to jail. Now, I could be pissed off about that and be like, oh, what a jerk. He told me he would do this and then he didn't. But honestly, he's living a shittier life, so who cares? It sounds like your dad is a dick. Yes, he's being a douche. Do I think it's worth fighting your dad if he's being a douche? Not really. And if it's that hard, I don't know why. It sounds like you're living with your dad and commuting to college. Now, if you spent $300 total at least getting taxis for places you need to get to, it's really not that much money. I don't know how long you're talking over. 2 years? $300 is like no money to spend getting somewhere. Here are your options. Well, no, this part's not optional. Just fucking talk to your dad and say, look, are you going to give me a vehicle or not? Because if you're not, I need to figure this out for myself. And then he can say no. Then you can choose to move closer to your school and just live there. If it's so expensive to get there, just spend that money living close instead of getting rides. Get your own POS. I don't really recommend that. Get a goddamn bicycle already. Take the bus. Hour on the bus, that's not that bad. That is not the worst thing in the world. Or, you know, if you live somewhere that's got to get one of those like car to go things, just do that. I like how these people, it's like, oh, my parents said they would give me this and now they're not and I'm pissed. This happens. This is going to happen the rest of your life. This is like when, you know, what sickens me a little is like adult children, right? Like their parents die and then they're fighting over the inheritance. And you're like, don't be gross. There's like $50,000 here. If my mom dies and there's $50,000 to be had and my brother takes it all and he's being a dick about it, fine. What are you going to do? Oh, I called a girl a bitch who might have cancer. Now that's a question. Been seeing this girl for about 3 months. Oh, good. And we were using the terms boyfriend, girlfriend. She says she just wants to be friends. I was upset and pleaded for her to change her mind, looking like a pussy. She says no. We don't talk for 2 weeks. Finally, I call her with the intention of being nice and telling her she could get a couple things I still had. She doesn't answer. Next morning, partly due to the fact that I didn't talk to a friend about it, partly my just stupid insecurities about myself, decided to text her and tell her along the lines of, "You're a bitch and your friends all think that." Then she tells me I'm an asshole and I can throw the shit away. My rage progresses. This is all over text. She then mentions in a text that this doesn't matter and she has much more important things in life. She said she just walked about of a biopsy to see if she has cancer. Now, over the last month, she had been losing weight and saying things like, "There's something really wrong with me." Doesn't sound like BS when I think about it. However, I did not think about it. My response was something like, "You don't want me in your life. Deal with it." Now, she has blocked my number in all forms of communication, and I don't blame her. Within minutes, I realized that this was possibly the biggest fuck-up of my life. The last few days, I've been crying and depressed, mostly just because I treated someone I care about so badly. Also because I have no clue what's... Wow, teenage emotions. Also because I have no clue what's going on with her health, and it's eating me away. The only thing I could think was to go return her stuff with a letter that said sorry. She didn't answer the door, so I just left it there. At this point, I feel like I need to just leave her alone, but at the same time, can't imagine her suffering alone when I could at least try to tell her I still care about her as a person, even if we can't be together. Told a girl who might have cancer that she's a bitch and can deal with it on her own. Didn't mean it, and I feel like shit. Oy, oy, oy. I have a friend who has this interesting thing that happened. So he's seeing this girl, and they didn't date a super long time, and it was not a good fit for either of them, really. But she clearly liked him more than he liked her. He broke up with her, and it was probably like a month later, maybe 6 weeks, that she found out she had a brain tumor after they broke up. And at first, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that. But then on the other hand, you're like, it's a good fucking thing he broke up with her when he did, because otherwise, what is he going to do? She says she has a brain tumor. He can't break up with her then. They would have been stuck. Like, how long after someone has a brain tumor and they're getting it? She's fine, by the way. Everything's cool. But yeah, like, you find out, oh, my girlfriend has a brain tumor. You can't just be like, honestly, I was about to break up with you, so I should probably just do that. You know, as someone who's got a brain tumor, you can probably appreciate how every day is important. And every day I spend with you is, you know, one of the last days of your life. And, you know, maybe mine, who knows? This brain tumor of yours has really made me think that we should have been broken up a long time ago. You know, it's really taught me to carpe diem, seize the day, and let's break up. You can't do that. And so then it's like, okay, well, then she'd be getting her brain tumor taken care of. Well, you can't break up in the middle of that, can you? You're going to be holding her head. You probably have to shave your head when she gets her head shaved or some shit. There's a lot of things that are going to go along with this. This is not going to be an easy road. And then what would you do? I do feel like, okay, so then it turns out she's going to be fine. I feel like once it's like she's going to be fine, is it wrong to just be like, I'm going to level with you? I wasn't feeling it. I stuck with you because I didn't want to break up with you when you were tumory. But now I'm leaving, you know. Or do you just break up then? Do you just be like, we just need to break up? I don't want to talk about it. I don't know. I don't know how do you even break up with people? It's impossible. It happens, but boy, does it not really work. Well, I would say you're like, I mean, this kid's obviously like 13 and an idiot. So good for you for returning this stuff. And, you know, I think that's a pretty good thing. But yeah, cancer. That's a tough one. That is a tough one when it's like, oh, I've got the cants. Cants in the pants. Okay. My strong wife. This is my strong wife. Let's see. So me and my wife were at the gym the other night. Now, she has been working out for a couple months now, and she does hardcore workout. She does yoga, lifts weights, runs, and she played college basketball. The other night, she challenged me to a bench press competition. I know my wife is very strong, but I didn't think she was that strong and thought I could easily win. But I was wrong. I went first and maxed out at 175. She started with 160 and worked her way up. She got to 175 and told me to keep the weights coming, so I did. She got up to 220 and beat me. I was embarrassed, and on the way home, she was teasing me and said I should have seen the look on my face. I was mad, so I challenged her to a wrestling match at our house when we got back. I knew I could win because men are obviously more physical, and I knew I could beat her, but I was wrong again. She pinned me and then put me in the scissor move where she put my head in between her strong thighs. She was choking me with her ripped legs and her abs of steel. She said I wear the panties in the relationship and I should go change my tampon. What should I do? Oh, well, first of all, congratulations for writing the next Judd Apatow movie. Well done. Ripped Wife, the movie. My Strong Wife, starring Seth Rogen. Or maybe Michael Cera. That would be good. Michael Cera, and who's like a ripped lady that he could be married to? Venus Williams, Serena Williams. She's pretty ripped. Just destroys him. I think Serena Williams could bench 220, right? Probably. I don't know. I don't know how big Serena Williams is. Because, I mean, if she's like 6'2", yeah, of course she could bench that. But if she's like 5'4", who knows? You can look real ripped when you're short. What should you do? Well, it sounds like your wife humiliated you. But also, I'm going to give you a piece of advice, okay? As someone who's done some exerciseement. When people find out you do these sorts of things, oftentimes they want to have a contest with you, whether it be an arm wrestle or a push-up or a whatever. And I would advise that you never do these contests, ever. Whether you be a runner and people challenge you to a like 100-yard dash, or you're a ripped guy and someone challenges you to do the most fucking, I don't know, to throw a keg over a wall, I would advise you never do it. Because there's really nothing in it for you. Think about it like this. Someone challenges you to a physical thing. Let's say an arm wrestling match, and you've been working out, and they haven't, or vice versa. Okay, as the person working out, if you get challenged to an arm wrestling match and you win, that's not a big thing. Everyone kind of is like, well, no shit. You exercise, this guy doesn't. You should have won. If you lose, everyone gives you shit. Because it's like, Jesus, you should have beat that guy. You work out. He didn't even work out and he beat you. What's the point of working out? So when someone challenges you and they're the workout person, say no. And when they say, what are you, a pussy? And you're just like, no, I just don't. Why would I do that? Why would I sit on a bench and try and push more weight up than you? That's dumb. Also, I guess you could, if you want to gain your like masculinity back, just, you know, print out pages on how many cents on the dollar she makes or something like that. I don't know. Oh, getting over an ex, please, I'm desperate. He's an asshole. He's a cheater. He's a douche. Today he texted me asking me to give him oral before he runs errands. Mind you, we haven't had contact in a few weeks other than me asking for my ring, which he refuses to give back. I can't get over him because I don't know. I don't trust anybody, and he was the first person in general I trusted in so long, and this shows me not to trust anybody. I don't know what to do. It is so tempting to go back because I think that is what I deserve. Please help. Anything from your experience to general advice is helpful. Thanks for reading. Okay. You know, no matter what the situation, I mean, obviously I'm not going to say, like, excuse me, obviously I'm not going to say, well, you should probably give the dude oral. I mean, right, what do you think someone's going to, obviously you didn't get on here for people to tell you, like, yeah, I think he's probably, he sounds like a cool dude. I don't know, man. He sounds awesome. He's got errands, so he's got a busy life. That's something. I'm just going to give you that answer. I'm going to give you the answer of, like, well, what did you want to hear? Sure, he's an asshole. He's a cheater. He's a douche, but he's got guts. He asked you for oral, even though you haven't talked. He hasn't given you your ring back. That must mean something, right? Not just that he doesn't even know where it is or that it's sitting somewhere and he's too fucking busy to do it because he doesn't give a shit. And you trusted him because you've never trusted anybody. And, well, this is hard to hear, but you made a mistake. Again, you thought you couldn't trust anybody and you thought you could trust him and you were wrong. You were right before when you thought you couldn't trust anybody. Now, I'm not saying nobody can be trusted. I'm saying you can't trust anybody because it sounds like you make horrible decisions. Obviously don't get fucking back with somebody. Don't get back with somebody who broke up with you. That's never a good idea. My girlfriend, 23, and I, 25, are living an hour away from each other. Is this long distance? It's an hour away, I know, but how do I make this easier? We lived with each other before as friends with benefits, but it didn't work out very well because we were still having our fun jealousy, so we took a break. During this break, I decided to move an hour away to another city for better opportunities. During the transition, we started to talk and get exclusive. We've known each other for over a year and now are going steady. How are you someone who uses the term friends with benefits that casually and then says, we're going steady? I'm not sure what to expect. She hopes I can come back and live in the same city because she's used to seeing me all the time. Though in my mind, I feel it would be healthy to see how good our affection / love is for each other. Like the quote, absent makes the heart grow fonder. Okay. So you're saying you live an hour away from each other. Is this long distance or what should you do? Yeah, I mean, okay, it didn't work when you were friends with benefits living together. And now you're apart and it seems to be working better. And your solution is, well, now that we're apart and it's working better, what we should do is change the thing, revert back to the thing that wasn't working before. That seems like a really good idea. It is long distance. Here's the thing. Here's what's really weird about dating someone who's like an hour away. In some ways, worse than dating someone who's in like a totally different state, right? Like, here's what you really don't want. You don't want to date someone who's like 1 or 2 hours away. If somebody's 8 hours away by car, obviously you're not going to see them every fucking weekend. That's just not possible, right? So you don't have to worry about it. You'll see them once a month and it's fine. If they live 1 or 2 hours away, you could see each other every night. But goddamn, is that going to be miserable? That is the worst thing. Because that is a long time to drive. And let me tell you something. When the winter rolls around, winter is coming, that's when you're going to find out how well this is really working. So, I would tell you, I will tell you, I think that 1 or 2 hours away is the absolute worst thing. I think it is the worst amount. Because it's far enough that it's inconvenient. And the weekdays are horrible. The weekends are, you know, there's all this pressure on the weekend now, too, because it's like, well, we got to spend both days together. I'm not going to see him during the week. It adds a lot of weird pressure that's not there if you live in the same place. Or if you're just long distance, then, you know, you visit each other. It's great. And then it's hard when you're away from each other. But even if you spend an hour on the phone every night, think about it like this. If you're long distance and you spend an hour on the phone every night, that's how long you would spend driving to this person. That's not the time you spend together. Now, this is time you're spending on your relationship, but not together. Okay? Anyone will tell you that, like, commuting to your job an hour a day would be the worst thing ever. So now you're commuting to your relationship. Don't be dumb. It's 9:20 in the morning right now. I have to go to work. I'm half drunk because I'm bored and desperate because I'm fucking worthless. And what the fuck am I doing with my life? I mean, why the fuck am I not inventing shit? I can do that. I'm a stoner and I got ideas every hour. Too bad I keep forgetting them because that would make me a millionaire. Fuck me, fuck my memory. I'm just posting this here because I want someone to know. Don't care about karma or how many people see this. I need help. I like that. Dude, I'm stoned. I think of inventions all the time. Okay, well, I guess you don't care. I don't care either. I don't really care about you. If you're just going to be stoned all the time, whatever. Let go. Let it go. Let it go. Make a frozen show on the show. I don't know any of those words. I don't know that lady's name, Adina. Adina, that's not a name. Come on, give me a fucking break. Damage tax return. What can I do? That was dumb. I think someone is lying to my tabletop group. What do I do? Now we're talking. Loading. Hey, Reddit. So for a bit of background, I'm currently involved in an online D&D group. The group is run by a very passionate company. I'm excited to be a part of it. Before I got into this group, I had applied to a few other groups on the same website just to keep my options open. One of those groups ended up being one of my most visited because I liked the premise the most. I didn't get into this one. Now, today one of the players said that they wouldn't be able to make it to this weekend session. This is completely fine. However, when I alt-tabbed to go and edit some things on the website, I noticed that on the most visited page that the same player who had said this had also gotten into his other group. I wouldn't care so much, but this issue is that this group is at the same time as the group that we're both in. It feels a bit unfair, especially since the group has to pay money for each session. I want to bring this up with the DM, group leader, but I don't know if I should. Thoughts? And a player in my group might be lying and ditching us for another group. What do I do? This sounds dumb. I don't even get it. I don't know what this thing is with tabletop gaming. I listened to a podcast, literally, that was called How to Enjoy Board Games. That was the title of it. And you know what I learned? Nothing. I learned why someone else enjoys board games and learned that that does nothing for me. He didn't make any suggestions like be drunk or, you know, cheat. Here's what I've found. If someone asks me, how would you enjoy board games? Number one, be drunk. Number two, just cheat and cheat badly. Don't cheat to win. Just cheat to be, what's the character you call it? Like a random chaotic or whatever, evil chaos character. What is that thing called when there's like a character? It's like a Shakespeare term or something. Hang on. I'm typing an evil chaotic or something. There's got to be a term for that. Chaotic evil. Just be chaotic evil. Just cheat to make the game bearable and fun and weird. And, you know, just eventually you'll get caught and it's fine. That's how you enjoy a board game. Be drunk and cheat and make it. But just cheat in a way that makes it fun for you. You know what I mean? Just get rid of cards you don't like. Just, you know, when someone says, like, you can have 5 cards at a time. Well, guess who's got 8? What are you going to do about it? Kick me out of the game? I don't even want to play this game. Okay. My shoes have acquired the stank. How do I get rid of it? I tried soaking them all night in detergent in the washer and then washing them, but they still stink. Okay, soaking things that stink like shoes doesn't do shit. It's not about it penetrating. I'm going to tell you this. When shoes stink, they're done. They're dead. You can't fix them. Once when I was a child, I had a beloved pair of shoes and they smelled bad. Because I guess, you know, not a child, but middle school. My shoes smelled horrible. And I wanted them to not smell horrible. So I tried a lot of things, washing them like you did. And what I ended up doing was putting like some kind of weird rosy perfume that my mom had in the closet. We had this hall closet that just was like a medicine cabinet that just had weird shit in it. It was just a free-for-all of crap. And rose perfume was in there, and I just dumped it in. And they didn't smell like feet exactly anymore, but they did not smell like rose either. And I know you like to think your feet don't stink, but Lean a little bit closer and roses really smell like shoes. That's what happened. It was a mixture of shoe and rose that has not only not fixed my shoes from sixth grade, but has forever tainted that smell for me. There is a weird rosy smell. It's not the smell of actual roses, but a rose perfume that is just god-awful to me now. I cannot get over it. When a shoe stinks that bad, it's done. This is what I'm telling you. When your shoe smells horrible, it's over. It is over. All right, can we find one more? Can we find one more? My boyfriend wakes me up a lot at night, and it annoys me. Is this normal? Well, that depends. Let's see what you're talking about. Hey, Reddit, this is the dumbest thing I've ever posted, so I'm sorry. I thought about posting... Okay, I moved in with my boyfriend a few months ago, and it's been great. It's my first time ever living with a boyfriend, but we don't seem to have any issues of super importance. The only problem is he tends to wake me up at night doing a variety of things, and while I'm usually a very bubbly and happy person, I turn into a grouchy evil bitch when this happens. Last night, he loudly got the hiccups at like 2 in the morning, which woke me up, and he just keeps hiccuping. Keep in mind, I sleep like the dead, so it must have been really loud and ongoing to wake me up. If it were me, I would leave the room or use ever fiber of my being to be quiet that says not to wake up the other person up. Jesus. I got evil and annoyed and said, ugh. He also tends to take the blankets a lot. I'll wake up freezing and he has the comforter wrapped completely around his legs and I'm just freezing under this top sheet. Again, half asleep, I get pissed and make this guttural, angry moaning noise and rip my half off of him. Sometimes he'll wake up to poop and go into the master bathroom and loudly take a dump so I can hear everything. It's one of those toilet closet type bathrooms, so it's tiny and everything echoes. I understand that when you gotta go, you gotta go, but if I get to the point critical in the middle of the night, I go downstairs or at least into the hall bathroom so he doesn't have to hear. I know this is trivial stuff, but I honestly don't know if this is something you just get used to living with a significant other or if I should talk to him or maybe sleep in the other room. I wouldn't mind sleeping in the other room, but sometimes I worry that it'll hurt our relationship or something. I also feel guilty for how annoyed I get. It's very out of character for me, but when I'm half asleep, I feel like I have no control over my temper. Anyways, thanks, Reddit. Okay. Number one, this is a thing that people do. They're like, I sleep like the dead. Well, if you're waking up from the sounds of someone taking a dump in the next room, you do not sleep like the dead. Even if it's just an attached bathroom, if you're hearing his shit hit the toilet, unless he's taking extremely loud explosive dumps, give me a break. And yeah, you're going to hear somebody taking a dump. If you want to go downstairs and take a dump, good for you. But come on. Come on. That's living together. Oh, I want to live with someone, but I don't want to hear them take a dump. Well, fuck off. Then you don't really want to live with someone, do you? Now, here's one thing I would suggest, though. Because I suggested this. My cohabitant did not go for it. But I was like, why can't we sleep under the same sheets but have different comforters? Just side-by-side comforters. The reason being, I have a similar problem. Not every night. But some nights I wake up a little less comforted than I'd like. Let's put it that way, by my comforter. It's more less of a comforter, more of a comfort her, because it comforts her as she sleeps and not me. So I don't know. I don't think it would be a horrible suggestion to be like, can we just have like two side by side comforters in the bed going at the same time? Because then when, you know, he's ripping yours off, then you just go like, oh, well, I'll just fucking take this one. This is not that hard. This is not that complicated. Woof. So there you go. That's easy. That's easy shit. I don't know. I think that going to sleep, and I think it's tough to unring that bell and sleep in the other room. That's going to be a hard sell. Oh, finally, get a fucking white noise machine, you idiot. Everyone needs to get this. If you don't have some kind of white noise going, everything in the world is going to wake you up. And if you do have white noise going, nothing will wake you up. And you can get used to the white noise, but you cannot get used to the sounds of someone taking a dump. I mean, I don't want to listen to it either. I don't know, living together is tough, man. It sucks. But sleep sounds like it's important to you. So just fucking get another thing. Get another comforter. Put it next to it. And then, I don't know. Also, why is he taking so many dumps in the middle of the night? That's not a good thing. But there's not a lot you can do about it. All right, guys. That's all for today. It's all the advice I got. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. I've been doing pretty good in July, huh? July 2015 has been a good radio month for us. See you soon. And you're gonna die someday. So life take all your terror. Surrender to the truth. It's times like these I forget why I quit loving you. And I recall when I thought I had a plan. The sun and moon and stars seemed to slip right through my hands. But remember, that failure was part of being alive. I guess I let it take away my pride. One too many times. And I know you're gonna leave me. There's nothing I can do. It's times like these I forget why I quit loving you. Life take all your terror. Surrender to the truth. It's times like these I forget why I quit loving you. And I don't know what I'm doing. No, I don't have a clue. It's times like these I forget why I quit loving you.